Right, translation. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, non-violence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave, and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of all the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one's whole self. O King Yudhisthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shall we repeat it or not? Oh. Okay, we go to the purport. So this is the purport. In order that human beings be distinct from animals, the great Saint Narada recommends that every human being be educated in terms of the above-mentioned 30 qualifications. Nowadays, there is propaganda all over the world for a secular state, a state interested only in mundane activities. If the citizens of the state are not educated in the above-mentioned good qualities, how can there be happiness? For example, if the total populace is untruthful, how can the state be happy? Therefore, without consideration of one belonging to a sectarian religion, whether Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, or any other sect, everyone should be taught to become truthful. Similarly, everyone should be taught to be merciful, and everyone should observe fasting on certain days of the month. Everyone should bathe twice a day, cleanse his teeth and body externally, and cleanse his mind internally by remembering the holy name of the Lord. The Lord is one, whether one is Hindu, Muslim, or Christian. Therefore, one should chant the holy name of the Lord, regardless of differences in linguistic pronunciation. Also, everyone should be taught to be very careful not to discharge semen unnecessarily. This is very important for all human beings. If semen is not discharged unnecessarily, one becomes extremely strong in memory, determination, activity, and the vitality of one's bodily energy. Everyone should also be taught to be simple in thought and feeling, and satisfied in body and mind. These are the general qualifications of a human being. There is no question of a secular state or an ecclesiastical state. Unless one is educated in above-mentioned 30 qualities, there cannot be any peace. Ultimately, it is recommended, Shravanam Kirtanam Chasya Smaranam Mahatam Gatihi Sivajavana Tir Dasyam Sakya Masamapanam. Everyone should become a devotee of the Lord, because by becoming a devotee of the Lord, one automatically acquires the other qualities. Yashyashti Bhaktir Bhagavati Yakinchana Sarve Gunastatra Samasate Surahi Haru Bhaktasya Kuto Mahatguna Manoratana Sati Davato Bahi. If one who has unflinching devotional service to Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications. He is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Our Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is all-embracing. Human civilization should take it very seriously and practice its principles for the peace of the world. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshu Sunmeditam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pustaya Buddhale Shimati Shivaram Swamiti Namini. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pustaya Buddhale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Iti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine. Nevase sa sunyavadi pastachade satarine panchakalpa trubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam paven bhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nitananda shri advaita gadadha shivasri gaura bhakta brinda hari krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Just like to ask permission of all the senior Vaishnavas. And I might say something to inspire the devotees. Hare Bol. So, this chapter, which I forgot to mention, is entitled The Perfect Society. Four social orders. Yeah. So every living entity is born according to their karma. We have a certain quality and nature. And we have to, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that we have to work according to that quality and nature that we have. Therefore, it is recommended that society be divided into four classes, four social orders, and for spiritual orders. And in this chapter, it is specifically describing about the four social orders, which is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is giving us the system of Varnashram Dharma. It is to purify the living entity from material desires, because the whole Varnashram system actually is meant to help us ultimately come to the point of giving up our material desires and ultimately surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ataha pumbir dvijashtrishta Varnashram vibhagasaha svanutasya dhamasya samsari haritoshanam. It is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by performing his prescribed duties is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the ultimate aim of human life, is to surrender everything to Krishna. But of course, it is not easy for everyone just to surrender to Krishna straight away. You can see the way society is going completely the opposite way. Therefore, in this verse, it is recommended that we have to at least develop 30 qualities or qualifications, at least to come to the human platform. Because unless you come to the human platform, there's no question of engaging in any devotional service or progressing in human life. Prabhupada describes here that for there to be happiness in a secular or ecclesiastical state, secular means materialistic and ecclesiastical means religious. So it's interesting, Prabhupada is also using the word secular. For there to be happiness even in a secular state, a materialistic state, that everyone has to be educated in the above mentioned qualities, qualifications. And Srila Prabhupada specifically mentions truthfulness. So the leaders of society at the moment, they do not possess any qualities themselves. So how are they going to lead society if they are not possessing these qualities, especially truthfulness? This is the last leg of religiosity in Kali Yuga, and is also diminishing very quickly due to lies and politics. Chanakya Pandit said, never trust a politician. Well, he also said, never trust a woman. But we're specifically talking about politicians here. Why? Because they're not educated themselves in the higher qualities of life. And their main aim is to amass as many votes as possible for their own sense gratification, not for the benefit of society at all. And you can see the way things are at the moment. The way the economy is. This is all due to greed, just by a few people. And all the rest of the people are following because they have no choice and they are not educated in the Varnashram system. Therefore, they have no choice. They're just going along. Just yesterday was in Oxford distributing books. And you wouldn't believe the amount of people on the street. I mean, it was like being on an ocean of people. And we were in the middle of it trying to swim, trying to stop people. It was just like this. You know? I can imagine what Oxford Street's like at the moment. I wouldn't even like to step on there. But you can see the way people just completely, for no reason, just going mad, crazy. And I stopped one man, and I gave him a book, and he said, yeah. He said, I understand what you're saying is true, but he said, I can't help myself. He said, I have to eat meat, and I have to engage in these unspiritual activities. But he said, I have no choice. He said, I don't know why, you know, but I have to do it. But in one sense, he's right. He doesn't have a choice. Because society isn't giving him a choice. It's only us, the devotees, who are going out preaching that are giving him that choice. But in bygone ages, the kings or the heads of society were completely different. They were Raja Rishis, saintly kings. And their main purpose was to make sure that the people progressed spiritually. And of course, they also provide material facilities in abundance. And I think, was it Yudhisthira or was it Ram? When he was ruling, the living entities were free from the pangs of material existence, suffering from the demigods, from natural causes, from other living entities, from the mind. Because the ruler was so strong. And Prickit Maharaj was another great ruler. When he was in charge, these things did not exist. But then as soon as he found out that there was a slight deviation and there was irreligiosity coming into his kingdom, immediately he mounted his chariot and he went to fight irreligiosity. He said that his chariot was drawn by black horses and he had a flag of a lion. So he was ready for action. He was a Kshatriya. So even the slightest reason to fight, he went. Of course, there were other kings who were in charge of the planet as well, or their certain area in the planet, but he was the ultimate authority. So in his mind he was thinking, if anyone is not following my authority, then I have to go and fight them, sort them out. So once it's like the devotees in Krishna consciousness movement now, this is the only society really that gives people a choice. They're going out like warriors, the Sankirtan devotees. So wherever Prickit Maharaj would go, he would actually, he would hear everyone glorifying Krishna and his forefathers, because Prithvi Maharaj was the grandson of Yudhisthira Maharaj. And so everyone was glorifying Krishna and his forefathers, how glorious they were, that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was living in the house of the Pandavas. And even the Supreme Lord himself would pay obeisances to the Pandavas. That's how great and glorious they were. So while this was going on, Kali was trying to get infiltrate into the kingdom. And Dharma, who is religiousness personified, was in the form of a bull, and he was wandering around. And he came across Mother Earth, who was in the form of a cow, Bhumi. And he said, she looked very disturbed, very unhappy, and she had lost all her luster. And Dharma said, you look, Bhumi, what's wrong with you? You look, your face and your body has gone black and you've lost your luster. And why are you crying? She said, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was on the earth, I was feeling very happy and joyful, because just by the touch of his lotus feet on my body, I was feeling very happy, and it was lessening the burden of all the karmic reaction of the kings who were committing sinful activity on me. So when Krishna was walking the earth, she was feeling very happy. And she said, I was enjoying watching his pastimes, but now he has gone. Irreligiosity and all the other bad qualities of people are manifesting. And then at this time, Prakrit Maharaj arrived on the banks of the Sarasvati River, where this was going on. And he saw a very horrible-looking, Sudra-looking person in disguise of a king, which was Kali. And he was beating the legs of Dharma and Bhumi. And he'd already taken off three legs. So the Dharma is representing religiosity. And the cow, they are standing on four legs, and these legs represent cleanliness, austerity, mercy, and truthfulness. So three of those legs were already broken. There was only one leg left. So this, in Kali Yuga, there is only one leg standing of religiosity, and that is truthfulness. It said that in each yugas, these qualities slowly diminish, slowly. And now we're only left with one fourth, which is truthfulness, which is also diminishing. So here Prabhupada's explaining about all these qualities. Cleanliness, he starts. Cleanliness is very important, externally and internally. Externally, Prabhupada says we have to take a bath twice a day. I remember he was on traveling Sankirtan. Regardless of the weather, we had to take a bath. Even if whether it was 20 degrees outside or whether it was minus 20, we had to, and it was a cold bucket bath as well, in the middle of the snow. But we did it. And sometimes we were in I remember being in Chichester. And Chichester is a very conservative town, Christian. If anyone's been there, you'll know what I'm talking about. And so we would sometimes park the van in the middle of the town center, because it'd be easy to get on the street. You'd just walk from the van and you'd be there, practical. And I remember once taking a bath outside, and we were in the car park, and Vedic style, with a gumsha. and you still keep your copings on, hanging out. And I remember seeing an elderly English gentleman taking his dog for a walk with his wife. And just like the English culture, they're very, very conservative. They don't say anything. Good morning. Standing there in a gum-filled coping saying, you know, good morning. Nice weather we're having today, isn't it? Yes, indeed it is. Bye-bye. But regardless of, you know, what the situation was like, we took a bath twice a day. Because that is what a human being is meant to do. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Yeah. So of course here it is not specifically talking about external cleanliness. The most important point is internal cleanliness. So after taking a bath, we would get in the van and chant the Maha Mantra. So internal cleanliness is the most important thing. Cleansing the heart from what is unwanted qualities. It is said that in Kali Yuga, cleanliness is diminishing due to too much attachment to sex life. I was distributing recently in a car park. And quite often when you go up to the people in the cars, and these are very intelligent people, you know, high paid jobs, the cars they're driving are probably like 20, 30, 50,000 pound cars. And they're sitting in their car on their phone playing kiddie games, little computer games. And I knock on the window, and so they get embarrassed, they put the phone away. And there was one chap, he was reading a naughty magazine, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah? So I knocked on the window, I could see what he was doing. And he got really embarrassed, he quickly threw the magazine on the passenger side, on the floor, like this. And then he undid the window, and I looked him in the eyes, and I said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "We're passing these books." It was a Veda. I gave him a Veda. I said, "This book teaches people how to develop higher spiritual awareness in life." And he said, "Oh, really?" He felt so embarrassed. He just said, "Do you want something for the book?" I said, "Yeah, £5." And he gave me £5. And he would wound the window up. And as I was walking away, I was curious to see whether he was going to open the Bhagavad Gita or go for the magazine again. And what did he do? He put the Bhagavad Gita on the dashboard and he went for the magazine. Yeah. So because in this age, people's minds are so much thinking about sex life, Prabhupada said that we must be very careful not to discharge semen. Thinking about, we don't have room in our minds for anything spiritual. It takes away any determination that we may have for something higher. And this is, you can see in society, the whole society is based on this one principle. So in this way, cleanliness is diminishing. And austerity, there's no austerity because of too much pride. Although ultimately austerity is meant to be, is meant to be done for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And mercy, there is very little mercy. And this is because of intoxication. People's minds are becoming polluted. So slowly all these qualities are diminishing. Kali Yuga. So then Brihat Maharaj, he took up his sword and he said, "How dare you in my kingdom beat an innocent cow?" And he was ready to kill Kali. So then immediately Khalid started trembling. And then he took off his disguise as a king and took on his original form as a Sudra. So then Prakrit Maharaj, being a devotee of Saint the King, automatically he had compassion for this Sudra. So Prakrit Maharaj said, "You have to leave my kingdom immediately." And then Khalid said, "Well, where am I going to go?" So Prakrit Maharaj said, "You can go where there is intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. These four vices." But then Khalid said, "Well, because you're such a powerful king, wherever I go, you're going to chase me. And I'll have no peace. You have to give me somewhere else." Does anybody remember where else he would give? Yeah, wherever there's illegal gold amassed. Because wherever there's gold, there's envy. What other qualities? Envy, greed, all these different qualities. That's the saying. What is it? Money is the root of all evil. Have you heard that saying? Am I right? It is money, isn't it? Money is the root of all evil. Because Kali is there. So how did Parikit Maharaj stop Kali from entering the kingdom? What he did was he took all the gold, which was being misused, and he used it in the Sankirtan Yajna. This is what it says in the Bhagavatam. Sankirtan Yajna. So, ultimately, everything is meant to be used in the service of the Supreme Lord. We have to dovetail everything in Krishna's service. I was reading recently in a room conversation with Srila Prabhupada, and it was Hari Kesh. And Prabhupada was saying, Prabhupada was never into accumulating money in the bank. He said, "What's the use of having money in the bank? We should, if you have some money, you should print books." So this is using money or gold. Well, these days there's no gold. It's just money, paper money. Using it in a service of Sankirtan Yajna. Because Prabhupada said, "What's the point having, you have £10,000 in the bank? It's either going to get wasted on useless things or it's going to diminish in value. But if you print books and distribute those books, you can save society from going to hell." And if anyone can do their maths, £10,000 worth of books, you can transfer that to £20,000 or even 30. Depends if you get double BBT or three times BBT price. When we were brahmacharis, I think we had to get three times BBT price. Brahmacharis usually get what, 2.5 times BBT? What, two, don't you know? Yeah, but I think the grahasthas have to get a bit more because we have to pay 20% on top. So not only is it economically very viable to do this, spiritually and economically. And Prabhupada said, if you preach, then Lakshmi will come and all the problems will be automatically taken care of. So ultimately, this whole system of Varna and Ashram is meant to help us come to the point of giving up our material desires. It all comes in a big circle. I mean, the spiritual order, Brahmacharya. First, you start off living a very austere life, simplicity. And then as you get married, if you get married, then life becomes a little bit more complicated. We have to take on responsibilities. So many things have to be there. We have to earn money to maintain the family. And then it goes on in a big cycle. And then when the kids grow up and you paid the mortgage off, all the rest of it, then again you take vanaprastha and life starts becoming simple again. And then those who wish to progress and take sannyas, many for preaching purposes, then they take sannyas. And then sannyas means you're living a very austere life, simple. The main purpose of sannyas is complete dependence on Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, someone shouldn't take sannyas if they're thinking, who's going to take care of me? then you shouldn't take sannyas. A sannyasi is meant to be completely dependent on Krishna. So it goes on in a whole cycle. But the main point of anashram is that ultimately we should come to the point of complete surrender to Krishna. Complete dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course this whole process takes time. Of course, and beginning with developing humane qualities. Yeah. And once we develop those humane qualities, then we can start progressing and we can develop Vaishnav qualities as well. And there are so many Vaishnav qualities. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that all these qualities come from Krishna himself. And it is only by those qualities that you can distinguish the Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. So what is it that makes a Vaishnava? Is it the way we dress? Is it the way we speak? Even the way you speak, you may speak very nicely, but then after you go away and speak nonsense, then you may not be a Vaishnava, really, strictest sense. But it's only by those qualities that a Vaishnava is recognized. And what is the most important quality of a Vaishnava? Humility. Yeah, because from humility everything else stems. You can see in the life of Haridas Thakur and all the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was the most important quality, manifesting quality that you could see when you read the CC, how humble they were. Because unless you're humble, then it's very difficult to be tolerant. You see people that possess lack humility, they cannot even tolerate the slightest disturbance. People, you know, they kill someone for the most ridiculous reason. They didn't put enough sugar in the tea, so this man, he killed his wife. I mean, that's an extreme example. And unless you have tolerance, it is very difficult to forgive someone. Forgiveness is a very important quality. We're living in a society, we're going to be disturbed by so many people, this person, that person, but we have to learn to forgive. And if you don't have forgiveness, then it's going to be very difficult to have the quality of compassion. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is compassion personified. Unless you have this quality of compassion, you can't really preach. Yeah. Or the true term of preaching, although you may go out and give out books externally, but ultimately we need compassion. Yeah. So a devotee doesn't have to separately try to endeavor for all these qualities, because there's so many qualities here. Even the karmis may possess some of these qualities, but they're completely on the material platform, and ultimately those qualities that they possess will be diminished in time, because they're not using those qualities in the correct way, and that is service to Krishna. So the best way to possess these qualities is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, is by hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting means giving oral reception. And if one hears and chants nicely, then we can remember. Then we can remember the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Because even if someone's doing a mundane activity, so-called mundane activity, it may be mundane externally. You may be working outside in a job to maintain your family. But if you're remembering Krishna, then that job can be devotional service, because your family are devotees and you're going out to maintain your family. But if you're not remembering Krishna while you're engaging in that activity, then it isn't considered devotional service. So it doesn't matter what activity we do, whether we're a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, or what status of life we're in, or what class, it doesn't matter. we have to all be remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, constantly. Prabhupada said we have to be engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day. What does this mean? Does it mean that we have to be actively? This means that we have to actually be thinking of Krishna somehow. Even if we're doing our so-called, we may be driving a bus or a train, it doesn't matter. But if that devotee is thinking of Krishna, then that is considered devotional service. Antaha Narayana Smriti. At the time of death, we have to somehow think of Krishna. And you can only think of Krishna at the time of death if you've been thinking of Krishna during your life. Although there may be some cases where they get special mercy. So we're not going to wait around for the mercy, because what if we don't get it at the end, that special mercy? So therefore we have to be qualified. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. This is the most important process of spiritual life, hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then we can remember Krishna. We're driving our car, we should be thinking somehow about Krishna. Krishna is the purifying agent in everything. So the heart is like a throne. We're meant to invite Krishna to sit on the throne of our hearts. But Krishna is not going to come and sit in a dirty, hard place. So we have to soften the heart and decorate it with nice, like when Prabhupada came to the manor, the devotees would decorate the Vyasasam with all nice cushions, and it's like it's dressed, decorated now. And so this decoration is like the nice Vaishnav qualities. And then Krishna will come and sit on the throne of our hearts. And then there will be no more misery or suffering. Hare Krishna.